is WGXC 90.7 from the Hudson Studio in New York. I'm Nancy Marin, your host for the Social Graces Program. The Social Graces Program covers all things pertaining to etiquette, manners, and protocol. Well, this is Nan Marin, and we are at the Wave Studio on Route 23. It's a beautiful place. I've never been here before. I'm just totally amazed at this place. Today we're going to be talking about we're going to be talking about the casual American, pertaining to how casual we now are in our dress, and maybe not so long ago how we used to dress. And my guest today is Dick Sable. Thank you for being here again.
Hi, Nancy.
Always enjoy having you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Shanika McIntosh is now a program director, correct? Yes, I thought she was going to be here today.
Oh, she was, but she couldn't at the last minute.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to congratulate her. Last month, I had Shanika McIntosh on. And we talked about our pet peeves, and it was a great program. So I wanted to talk about you a little bit, Dick.
Me?
Dick Sable, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Working on Broadway, you've been in films and on television, and
yeah.
If anyone has listened before, they know your great history that you have down in New York City.
Yeah.
So...
Do you want me to give you a little rundown?
Sure, or? Why not? Because maybe... There's no listeners.
Well, I have a pretty strong legitimate background, a lot of stage work. I've done a lot of stock, of course, a lot of regional. I was lucky to catch a lot of road shows in the beginning and then finally got on Broadway with a show called Three Bags Full starring Paul Ford, Nancy Marchand. And it had a limited run, but then after that I got Promises, Promises.
Oh.
And ran for 3 beautiful years. They recently revived it on Broadway.
Wow.
And
3 years
yeah,
you did that.
Yeah, I've worked on Broadway. And then after that, I caught A Little Night Music, with the Stephen Sondheim Harold Prince musical, starring Hermione Gingold and Glynis Johns, and ran that for a while too. So it was some film work as well, Cotton Comes to Harlem. Co-starred in the sequel to that, Comeback Charleston Blue. Done a lot of commercials, a lot of soap opera work, General Hospital.
I might have seen you and didn't know.
Yeah, I've always played like a cab driver, furniture mover, or something like that, or cops. I played a lot of cops. Yeah, a lot of cops. And
I don't know why I think that's
furniture
so funny.
Movers and...
Oh, boy.
Football players, stuff like that.
Oh, well, so, you look like a
But I've been around the block,
player.
As they say. I've done a lot of commercials as well, so.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm casually dressed today.
No, you're not. You look great.
Oh, you think so? Yeah,
yes.
Thank you.
A very nice dress shirt and slacks.
Uh-huh. Sneakers, though.
That's okay.
Well,
we're on radio.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, you know, I was thinking about Andy Griffith dying last week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just what, maybe a week ago.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that. I love that show. And
yeah.
I have a point to this about the casual American.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never saw, if Andy went out to eat with Helen.
Okay.
He always had on, even going to the local diner, like a nice jacket and
yeah.
slacks and
yeah.
dress shoes. I never saw Aunt Bea wear pants. Did you?
No. I couldn't imagine her in pants, actually.
I know. You can't even imagine it.
Right.
So I know. I'm showing my age, but I absolutely love that show, and I just thought of him and how nicely he always dressed. And
well, some people today wear jackets to dinner when they go out, but not
yes.
terribly often. You know, it's...
We have such a mix because you might go in and someone might have on a sport coat and slacks, and then the person sitting next to you is in a T-shirt, khaki shorts, and flip-flops. So that's kind of the gist of this program today, is talking about, I personally think that we are way too casual in the way we dress.
Well, today's culture, there really are no rights and wrongs about what to wear, I think. So that opens the door for a lot of flip-flops and ski boots and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But however you want to go with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, when I've said Aunt B never wore pants, I'm not saying that women should not wear pants now. I have on pants today. It was just making a point, though, of how things have evolved now. And I just wonder sometimes if we don't have any pride in the way we look anymore. We are so too casual, so casual. We shouldn't care what others are wearing. We should take pride in what we are wearing, you know, and then maybe if everybody kind of spiffed up, they would catch on. That's what I think. My daughter recently graduated college, and it was a very nice event, and Chuck Schumer was the guest speaker for the graduation, and he had a great job. Most people there were dressed appropriately, I'd say 75%. Mm-hmm. But then you still get those people. Now, this is a...
Do you mean jackets and ties?
My husband wore a suit. Mm-hmm. I had on a very nice dress. Mm-hmm. My mother had on a little... flew from Arkansas and had on a nice little suit. Yes, but there were some people still there at a college graduation in a T-shirt... with cut off, you know, not cut offs, but jeans, T-shirt, tennis shoes.
Yeah.
That was only a small portion. But when you think that this is a college graduation, it took these kids graduating at least 4 years, if not more, for this very, very special day.
Mm.
Very special day. As special as a wedding or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. Do they not have moms that tell them how to dress, or maybe mom is sitting there with her cutoffs of T-shirt too? I don't know, but it's bothersome to me. I grew up.
Moms today are the baby boomers, right? Or they? Yeah. They're a little bit past the baby boomers. So
I grew up in the South and went to church, you know, in Sunday school every Sunday, and there was a certain way you dress then, and I think now that they're just happy that people come to church now, that you can wear anything you want, basically.
But I don't think people go to church in jeans and sneakers today.
Maybe the evening, you know, they'll have like an evening program sometimes on Sunday night if you can't make it on Sunday morning. I was also thinking about... when I was 17 or 18, my family didn't have a whole lot of money, so we ate home every night.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I went to a really nice restaurant, I was probably 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I dressed that evening on a Saturday night like I was going to a wedding.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was funny. Now, would I do that now? No, but... I'm just trying to make the point that we've gotten too casual.
Well,
what do you think?
It's the speciality of it. I think it has to do with our culture. I think it has to do with America. America, the turn of the century of the early 1900s, where the railroads were being built and the automobiles were being mass produced, and manufacturing was a big thing. Everybody in the country was working, and the infrastructure was being laid down in America. And so there was a lot of nitty-gritty working going on in America. So I think that combined with the getting out of the Depression era and going through a war, that people began to relax, I think, after the war. And I think there's so many facets of so many things that feed into it. There's also the fashion industry that always wants to be on the edge, you know, with new fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So you get mini skirts and sack dresses, and you know, so the men's clothes are generally the same, except for maybe the 1700s where men were, you know, flashier than the women, you know. But in America, the men are just basically accompany the woman the way she wishes to dress that night. The man will dress appropriately to escort her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, but I think a lot of the culture feeds into it. In the 19, after the war was over, then you get into there was a film called The Beat Generation, and.
And what year was that?
That was in the, I'd say, 1950, late 50s. And that's when the war was over and the mores were relaxing a little bit. One need not be so formal, because after all, went through a period of people being killed, your neighbors being killed, and mm-hmm. family being killed. So mm-hmm. there was a relaxing in America, I think. And I think that had to do with dress as well. So when this movie came out, The Beat Generation, that came and around the same time came the Sputnik. And so the Beat Generation, that's how they came, Beatniks, because it was around the same time of this of the Sputnik. And
is that what the B is in the B? You said the B. What's the B stand for?
The B?
Yeah.
The B in Beatnik, you mean?
Oh, okay. In Beatnik, okay.
Did I say a B for something? I don't remember saying.
Yeah, the movie that came out in the 50s,
The Beat Generation. Beat, B-E-A-T.
The Beat Generation.
Beat Generation.
Okay.
And in the movie were these kids that didn't really care. They dressed sloppily. They were just... upstarts and
mm-hmm.
Minor infractions with the law, but nothing serious like today, where you go out and you have gang killings, you know, drive-by shootings. There's nothing like that.
They kicked over
that
a trash
can. Dress any way you want if you want to go into, you know, drive-bys. But around that period of time, I think, is when the Beatniks made jeans, wearing jeans and sneakers, very, very popular.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
And around that time was the Iron Curtain in Europe, and all they wanted over there was, if they met anybody American, they wanted their jeans or they wanted their sneakers from them, you know. So
I think you're exactly right, because I'm thinking as you're talking about Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
I think they always wanted to wear their jeans, the two brothers.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
The mom wouldn't let them wear, you know, jeans to school, or yeah. Maybe only on Saturday afternoon for an hour or so.
Uh-huh,
you know,
right, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, that makes a lot of sense.
And then you have also the early movies of like the 30s movies with Carol Lombard and Clark Gable, where they had dinner parties and everybody dressed to go to dinner parties. Well, they don't have dinner parties today. I mean, the social elite probably, you know, the upper, you know, 1% have dinner parties, but the rest of us, you know, we don't, you know. So the movies influenced, I think, a lot of the way one dressed at special events.
I think you're on to something there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
Do you remember when you went on your first plane ride? How people used to dress up? I remember that.
I was too scared to really remember when I was dressed.
No, but I'm sure you probably had on
the first
nice
time,
clothes.
Yeah.
People used to dress up to fly. Now They go in their flannel pajamas with their house shoes.
Yeah.
It's something.
Well, there again, the airplane industry, you know, has in just 100 years has like progressed so enormously. Because you figure when Kitty Hawk was in 1914, so that's almost 100 years ago. Since 100 years, I mean, look what's happened. The first commercial flight was in 1914. It was only one passenger on the commercial flight.
Oh, so, who was that?
I don't know who it was, but the flight was from Tampa to St. Petersburg. It was like a short flight, but it was the first passenger. So since then, and of course you may remember, maybe you wouldn't, Nan, because you're a lot younger than I.
Not really.
But in the 50s, I remember stewardesses were, you know, they had to be like 21 years old.
And they wore these fantastic figure.
Yeah, right.
It's like size probably 2 or 4, maybe.
So that made us want to, you know, live up to the high standards of flying somewhere.
Yes.
So one, you know, dressed a little bit better, you know, getting on the planes. And, of course, you had meals. And you were catered to on the flight. Now they get the hell on the flight, and that's the end of that. You know,
even though you've just paid an unbelievable amount to fly from Albany to Pittsburgh, it's cost you $700.
Right, but it's easy to see though how that can influence one's dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the corporate standards, the American culture. You know what it does to us as, you know, the people on the street, how we dress going anywhere. But, you know, graduations, I think I've always seen a mixture of this. Usually the younger kids that wear the T-shirts and the sneakers, but the fathers and mothers usually get a little dressed up because they're so proud.
Yes, but I think the father and the mother should demand that the sibling of whoever is graduating dress properly for certain special occasions, at least.
Yeah.
If not church, if not, you know, make just to get them to. That a lot of parents, I think, let their kids dress kind of what they want because at least they're going to church or at least they're going with us to dinner.
Yeah.
Even though I think that parents should step up to the plate and and teach their children that you do dress a certain way at certain times, at certain places.
Right, and never wear boots.
Oh, and a wide beater.
Cowboy boots with a suit. I mean, unless you're a Texas Ranger, you know.
What about the wife beater things the guys wear? It's like an undershirt.
Yeah, right.
But it's not it doesn't have the sleeves.
Yeah, right.
They call that a wife beater because I think down south they came up with it down there because the men that were beating their wives
wore those.
Really, I'm not kidding. I know it's stupid, but I think that's how they came up with that.
Well, there are some things today that are still kind of like standards of rights and wrongs in dressing. Like, for instance, the cowboy boots with don't wear a cowboy boot with a suit.
You mean like JR?
And never wear like JR. Well, he's a Texas Ranger, so that with him it's okay.
He was an oil man.
Oil man, okay.
Yeah.
But say never wear brown shoes with a blue suit. You know.
Oh, Lord.
Of course, it's still the standard today about white pants. You know, don't wear them
After Labor Day.
After Labor Day, you wear them. Before Labor Day and after Memorial Day.
Can you write that down for me?
I don't have any white pants, so I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, I just think that we should take more pride in how we look. And another thing is you never know when you're out and about who you might run into.
Mm-hmm.
Think you should always look presentable. And, you know, it's also important to have clean clothes. I know this just sounds so basic, but to have clean clothes, and if it's something that needs to be ironed, just take a few minutes and iron it.
Mm.
You know, just simple things. And then if you dress that way, you'll never be caught off guard in your cutoffs and wife beater when you run into somebody. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I think clean is the key yeah. word. I mean, if you don't have an iron, at least wear clean clothes.
Yes, yes, exactly.
You know, Nan, I've never really understood how some women have their hair in curlers, getting dressed, getting ready to go out that night, and they go out in public all during
the
day. You know, with these curlers. That is the dumbest. That is so inappropriate.
They put the plastic bonnet thing over it like you don't. Oh, what's under there? I wonder what's under there.
There's nothing under there. Don't look at me.
No, it's just my hairdo.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen that in a while. You know why?
You haven't.
People have electric rollers now. They don't have to roll it with
wet
hair.
They just zap their hair.
Yeah, or the curling iron thing. They don't have to put the dippity, wash it, do the dippity do, and put the plastic thing over them and go to the grocery store.
Oh, God.
Oh, I've forgotten all of that. Well, I'm sure that we all know someone or have known someone who is always put together with stylish clothes and thought about how nice these people always look, and I think that we should start thinking that way. About look at yourself before you walk outside and get in your car to go anywhere. Look at what you have on. It's just as easy to put on a simple pair of pants or slacks and a nice little top as it is to put on your cutoffs and your T-shirt. Same amount of time.
And just self-esteem, too. I mean, you really...
Yes, you feel better.
...want to not only feel good about the way you look, but the way you present yourself to other people. You know, it makes you feel good. Yeah. I've noticed on Broadway, opening nights have changed a little bit, but not too much. I guess there is considerable change. But... you do still see on opening nights, you see people in tuxedos and people...
Isn't that nice?
The ladies wearing, you know, formal wear.
Yes.
Not that much as in the older days, in the 40s and 50s, but people do get dressed up for opening nights still. So that's kind of nice.
And after opening night, do you still see people...
After opening night?
What's their regular dress to go to a Broadway show? I would think you'd not a suit, but a
I would say a jacket is appropriate in the evening. Matinees, that's when you start to see jeans and sneakers. You do.
Those are the tourists.
Yeah.
It's not the people from New York.
It's kind of acceptable, you know. For matinees, at least, anyway.
Well, see, they want to get them in no matter what they could have a dress code, but then they'd lose out on all those tourists down there that don't even bring dress clothes on their vacation.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed with touring shows going out of town, people are a lot better dressed, I think.
Really?
out in the Midwest and going to the theater.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It's probably the Southern people, right?
Southern people are very genteel. They're very well mannered.
They always dress impeccably.
But right.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. We're all the same. Mm-hmm. So I had this little, Coco Chanel. This is a quote from her that is geared toward women, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. She said, "I can't understand how a woman can leave the house without fixing herself up a little, if only out of politeness. And then, you never know, maybe that's the day she has a date with destiny, and it's best to be as pretty as possible for destiny." I mean, I know that's a lot of women would go, well,
that's,
you know, be
big.
Offended by it, yeah. But she was, of course,
a trailblazer.
Yes.
Yeah. She's an icon.
I just thought it was a great quote from her, and maybe, you know, if there's any women listening out there, just don't try not to go out in your workout wear to run your errands. Maybe go to the gym, change into your workout wear. That people used to do that. They would go to the gym. I remember this, in their real street clothes. Then they'd go into the locker room, put on their gym clothes. Mm-hmm. Then they'd take those off, put back their street clothes on. That's all gone now. You go anywhere you want in your gym clothes.
Yeah.
Go to the store, the bank, the gas, wherever you want to go. Yeah. You're in the gym, your gym clothes. That was unheard of not too long ago.
Yeah. So I guess the thrust of our time here today is to what? To try to look good, try to
have some pride and think, well, maybe if all my friends are wearing this and that out to dinner tonight, I think I'm going to put on, you know, something a little special, a nice top, and I'm not talking about a sequin gown, for crying out loud. It's just
think good about yourself.
Yes,
and I think, try to show it in the way that you dress.
Yes, exactly.
At all times,
and the men too.
Even going to the store, sure.
Why even not? Going to the store,
yeah.
Yes, because you never, like she said here, Coco Chanel, you don't know who you may run into. You really don't know, and you don't want to be embarrassed about the way you look. It's all about pride in yourself.
Yeah.
Pride in yourself. You can't make anyone else do it, but I'm hoping that the listeners maybe just will think about this a little bit, about how they dress when they go out, and why not wear your little bit nicer clothes out. You've got some in the closet. Wear them.
Yeah.
Go ahead and wear them and have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, it's a good idea.
I think so, too.
I have a lot of good shirts that I hardly wear. I
start wearing those.
Start wearing them going to the store.
You never know who you can meet at the store.
Right.
Who knows? So I guess that's about it for today. I've really enjoyed having you here.
Thank you, Nan.
You're a wonderful guest.
Well, thank you very
and
much.
And I'm so happy you were here.
I'm glad to be back again. I'm surprised that you asked me, but I'm very pleased.
No, you're a wonderful guest to have.
Well, I like being with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Dick.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.